Good morning. My privilege this morning to bring you the word from the Lord today out of Daniel chapter 4 as we continue our series looking at Daniel. And today we take quite a shift in the storyline in Daniel. Is the first three chapters were about Daniel and his three friends and their persecution. And all of the things that King Nebuchadnezzar and his troops and his people were doing against them to try to deter their faith, to try to make them turn away and try to make them serve and worship a false god. In chapter 4, a couple of things about King Nebuchadnezzar is that he was essentially a spiritual man and that he did worship gods. His biggest god was the god of himself. He worshipped himself more than anything, but he prayed to the gods, and he had a great spiritual fervor to him, and he even acknowledged the God of Daniel and the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He even acknowledged them, and he even gave honor to them, but it still didn't make him a believer. He never at any point said that I myself confess myself to be a believer in the one true mighty God. The one and only God. And then we get into chapter 4, and it begins with that very statement. King Nebuchadnezzar begins to talk about the Most High God, and begins to talk about how something happened in his life, something happened to him that changed everything for him. And he began, or that vision was interpreted, and how that it actually came to pass, and how his life kind of changed in the process. Of course, he could have just said, hey, I've come to believe in the Most High God. I am now a believer. And he could have left it at that. The same truth could have been known. Now, I'm not here to testify about King Nebuchadnezzar's salvation. I'm not here to tell you. I'm just here to tell you what the passage says. But understand this, that we're given a testimony of a life-changing experience through God's word of an individual, and we're given it for a reason. Not so that we can glorify the person, but we can look to God and find out, how does this story apply to my life? Amen. And I look at this, and I read this testimony, I read this account of King Nebuchadnezzar and how God brought him to his knees and how he changed his life, and I just can't help but think of that phrase, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Y'all heard that before, right? Good. Sometimes God cries out to us, please check yourself before you wreck yourself. King Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful of all kings in the nation. He is noted to be one of the greatest of all kings of all times. He was well beloved. He was very powerful, very rich. He won many battles. He is renowned as a great king. But he had a great big hole in his life. And God began through Daniel and through Daniel's friends, he began to minister to him over the course of his life. And then God finally began to speak directly to him. He gave him this vision, this dream about a tree. And this tree was a big, mighty, great tree. And the branches expand throughout all the earth. And all the birds and the animals lived underneath. It had lots of fruit. Everything was fed. It was a wonderful, beautiful, mighty tree. That's what his dream was about. But in that dream, a messenger came down and said, hey, I'm going to chop down this tree. This whole tree is coming down to the ground. And all the birds and all the animals will flee away, and all the fruit will die, to be dispersed. And you are going to live amongst the animals for 7 years. For 7 years until you turn your eyes to me. Of course, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted somebody to interpret this dream for him. It's pretty straightforward, seems like. But he wanted somebody to interpret the dream, and, you know, the first thing he did is he went to Daniel, right? No way. He went right back to those same old magicians, those same old those spellcasters, the first ones that he always went to because they probably were going to tell him what he wanted to hear. And they couldn't tell him. And so he was left with no choice but to go to Daniel. Say, Daniel, tell me what's going on here. And Daniel, being a servant of the Lord, he had to give him the cold, hard truth. And let's pick this passage up in verse 19 of Daniel chapter 4. That's where we pick it up. It says, then Daniel was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him after he heard about this dream. So the king said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. In other words, hey, let me have it. I'm not worried. So Daniel answered and says, my Lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the beasts of the field, and having nesting places in its branches for the birds of the air, you, O king, are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. You, O king, saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave a stump bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live like the wild animals until seven times pass by for him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my lord, the king. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals, and you will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdom of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be then your prosperity will continue. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar, and 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of his royal palace of Babylon, he said, is not this the great Babylon I have built as a royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. Seven times will pass you by until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anything he wishes. Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to make humble. Let's pray together. Father, today we thank you for this account in your word that teaches us that you are the all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing God. And you are greater than any other God that we might create, both with our hands or in our minds. Teach us today to be aware of who we allow our God to be, of where we place our praise, that we may never take you off of the throne, and we'll always allow you to be the leader of our life. Today, Father, we approach you humbly and ask, God, that you teach us, show us, God, what we must do today to just check where we are with you before we wreck our own life that you've given us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what's going on here is that the king, very powerful, very noble, very rich, very wealthy, very popular, is now being given a message directly from God. Over the first three chapters, we saw God was working indirectly, really, through King Nebuchadnezzar's life, through Daniel and his friends. As each time Daniel and his friends stood up to the opposition, really, that he provided, and God really shone through to them, it opened his eyes to this God of Daniel, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And many times he said he was in awe about what God was doing. He was even given the privilege of seeing into the furnace and seeing the fourth man. God even allowed him to see that fourth man in the fire. God was revealing himself to King Nebuchadnezzar even then, but he couldn't see it. He wasn't paying attention. He was like, well, that's kind of peculiar. That's kind of odd. Man, these guys got a pretty good God. I might consider adding him to my panel of gods. That type of belief system is called polytheism. It means that we have many gods, that we have multiple gods. And depending on what our need is for the day, whatever we're going through, we just change whatever God that we want to go through. Now you say, oh, well, that's way back in the Old Testament times and those things don't happen today. Ha. It's very active. Polytheism is very active and very evident in our society today. Because people even proclaim Jesus as God, but they'll also proclaim other things as God too, especially themselves. There is no greater idol in this world than the idol of self, self-achievement, self-empowerment, self-enrichment. There is no greater false god in our world today than the god of self. Because whenever I want what I want instead of what God wants, then I've removed him off of the throne of my life and placed myself in his spot. No greater false god. But there can only be one God of our life, and we must choose. We must choose. Today our challenge is this: through this testimony given through the change of this man's life, you know, I credit him because, you know, he could have just kept this silent and said, you know, I bet with Daniel and his advisors, and I've just decided that, you know, the God of heaven and earth is my God too. And he could have finished it right there. I'm a sinner saved by grace, right? But he didn't stop there. He said, let me tell you the whole story. God appeared to me. He showed himself to me. And I turned my head. I didn't want to listen to anything he said. 12 months went by. 12 months went by after Daniel interpreted the vision. And King Nebuchadnezzar was still standing on the roof of his house, looking over all that he had made. He said, look at my kingdom. Look at my glory that I have made. Look at all that I have done with my life. And then immediately, the vision, the promise of God, the warning of God was fulfilled in his life. Now, if you want to check this out, you can go look through through history, and go to a history encyclopedia, and you will find many things written about King Nebuchadnezzar. True, that he was very powerful, very wealthy, very successful, and he was very spiritual. And there's also records and accounts that he was proclaimed to be insane for 7 years. That is actually an historical fact, that he lost his mind for 7 years somewhere during the time of his reign. And if you read this passage, you'll see that God promised him that you will lose your ability to reason. You'll lose your ability to think. You've lost your sanity, is what it says. He lost his sanity for 7 years. Now, here's what we need to know. That God has the power not only to take away our ability to be successful, to be rich, to work, but he has the ability to confuse our thoughts. To not even be able to reason between right and wrong. He drove the man that stood on the tallest rooftop in all of the world, upon the greatest kingdom in all the world, and brought him down to the lowest place in life, living with the animals, being soaked and drenched from the dew from heaven, living like a wild animal for 7 years. Now, many would say that, well, that was kind of mean. I disagree. For better to be living with the wild animals for 7 years than be living in a devil's hell for eternity. Amen. So I said all that to say this. Here are a few things we need to understand. A few things that we need to do today that we learn from this testimony of King Nebuchadnezzar. These are a few things that we can learn from this testimony that will help us check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. Because if you think that you are above being tempted by power and by success and by royalty and by popularity, you're mistaken. All you have to do is go back and look at some of the more popular and more successful pastors and preachers of all time. It seems like the more successful they became, if there is such thing as success in ministry, but it seems like the more popular they became, the further away from God's word they became. And eventually, they began to be led off into sinful things, and the enemy destroyed their ministry and destroyed their lives. None of us are above it. So we must be prepared. We must look at this and say, well, this could even happen to me. It could. First thing I want you to realize today is that we need to understand that everybody who is spiritual or successful is not necessarily saved. Just because they're spiritual or successful or spiritual and successful does not mean that they are saved. We see a perfect example here of King Nebuchadnezzar, who was a very spiritual person who believed in God or gods, plural, and he was very spiritual. History even accounts that he was a very spiritual man, and he was a very successful man. He would be somebody that you might even model yourself after. You might even want to be like him if you lived in that time. Because it seems that he had great favor with the gods. And we have to realize today that not everyone who claims to be spiritual and who is successful is not necessarily saved. We need to understand that both for ourselves, Because we can fall into this new world idea that God comes in all different shapes and sizes, and that we can make our own ideas about God. There are many ways to heaven, and everybody's going to get there. Just do the best you can. Whatever's right for you is right. Whatever's wrong for you is wrong. And don't worry about what anybody else says. You just do whatever you want to do, and at the end of it, we're all going to be okay. Now, I know that sounds crazy when we say it in here. But all you got to do is watch television for 15 minutes. That is the message in everything. That is the message that's portrayed today. Pursue success. And be spiritual. Believe in a God of your choosing. And all will be okay. Don't be lured into that trap. God appeared to this man and said, hey, all that you've built, all of this great kingdom, all of your great success is going to be brought to nothing. You're going to be brought down to nothing. It was a strict and stern warning to him. Look, change your life or I'm going to change it for you. But he wouldn't listen. He was proud, probably afraid to lose what he had built. He'd spent a lifetime building his own kingdom through his own talent, his own ability, and his own gifts. And he thought that he was all right. He didn't heed the warning, and he paid the price. We need to understand this truth for ourselves, and we also need to understand this truth of others that we get close to. Jesus warns us in the New Testament that we're to be careful because there will be wheat and there will be tares. There will be those that infiltrate the harvest. They'll come in and they'll appear real. They'll blend in well, but they're not real. Daniel gave the king a strict message. He told him this. He says, renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. Anybody who tells you that because you're saved, you can do anything you want, and they spend more time justifying what they do and how it is right and okay, and that you don't have to necessarily do everything right. Anybody that tells you that, hey, look, just take care of yourself and your family, build up your kingdom, take care of yourself, and hey, look, you go serve at that church whenever you want, whenever you feel like it, when you got enough time, and, you know, you just... But look, just go ahead and build your kingdom first. See about all of that first. They got people that get paid up at that church to do that work. You don't need to go bother yourself with that. You need to run away from those people and run away quickly. Because they're selling you something that is not true. They're telling you something that is false, because Jesus never, ever taught that. He never taught that the hired hands do all the work. He never said that, hey, look, as long as you're saved, go out and live comfortably. Don't worry about it. Go build big, nice houses, buy a bunch of big, nice cars, and look, don't even worry about the kingdom. I got it. Have fun. Enjoy your life. That is not a true message. Friends, I want to tell you to please be careful. Please be careful. Anyone, even if they're in the church, that says, hey, build your own kingdom, be your own God, do what you want to do, do it when you want to do it, don't worry about it, that whole sacrifice thing, that's for somebody else. Be careful. because there will be wheat and there will be tares. And Jesus instructed the church, said, look, don't go pulling up the tares. Leave them be, because you'll pull up the wheat with it. He said, I will sort it out when I return. Second thing we need to understand today is that we need to open our eyes to the way God is revealing himself to us. King Nebuchadnezzar, over three chapters, God has really just been showing himself. God's really been showing off in front of King Nebuchadnezzar, using Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to do it. And many times he even said, man, this God of Daniel and Shadrach, man, this God, he is something. He was revealing himself over and over again, but he just wouldn't see it. So many times I hear people saying, you know, the strangest thing happened to me this week. You know, I was just, man, I just had a rough time, and boy, I really needed something. And you know, I just kind of, man, I went down the street, and somebody met me on the street, and they just gave me exactly what it was I was needing. Man, that is the weirdest thing. Isn't it crazy? No, it's not crazy. It's simply God showing himself to you, saying, hey, I'm real, I'm here, and I want you. I want you. I want you. I want all of you, not just part of you, not just three quarters, not 90%. I want all of you. God reveals himself to us many times through our mistakes, through our failures, through our convictions, and even when we sin. And God is showing us over and over, come to me. Turn away from your old ways and turn toward me. Many times in the Old Testament, God warned his people and warned his people and warned his people. Jeremiah warned for 50-something years, and no one listened, and destruction followed. God warns us time and time in his word, don't do these things. Stay away from those things. Don't take this stuff lightly, or it will have a consequence. If we open our eyes to what God is revealing to us, both just through his blessings and through his warnings, then we could possibly avoid the punishment. The third thing I want you to see as I hurry is that know that God cares more about your eternity than he does your prosperity. God cares more about where you will be for the rest of your life, for your eternal life, than he does about what you have in this one. And he desperately wants you to take your eternity seriously. It's not a game. It's not a game. He cares more about your eternity than your prosperity. And finally, I'm going to close with this. Is that prosperity without God always leads to punishment. Prosperity through God leads to praise. If you read the account of this passage, you will see that at the end of 12 months after King Nebuchadnezzar received his warning, that he stood on the roof of his house and he said, look what I've done. Man, I am so good. I am a powerful, rich, wonderful king. Look what I've done. In all of his prosperity, it led him to self-enrichment, self-empowerment, self-praise, and eventually to punishment. And at the end of his 7 years, it says that he lifted his eyes to the heavens. He lifted his eyes to God. That's all he had to do. he lifted his eyes upon God. And God restored his sanity. He restored his kingdom. And he restored his kingship. And it says it even was even more than before. But this time, when he looked upon all that he had, he offered praise to the Most High God. What a great testimony of a man who had it all, or thought he did, only to realize what he really had was nothing at all. And then when he found everything, he had more than he could ever need. He's nobody special. He was just a man like you and me. Whatever our prosperity is, through God, it always leads us to praise of God. If our prosperity leads to praise of ourself, to focus of self, to putting aside God's will for our life, God's calling on our life, God's mission for our life, so that we can protect or build or improve what we've built, be careful. Careful. Don't let your prosperity lead you off track. Remember, you're not God. He is. Let's pray together. Father, today I thank you for your love and your grace. God, that continues to meet us where we are. I thank you that, Lord, even when we get it wrong, we look to ourselves and our own achievements, our own accomplishments to determine success. God, you can call out to us and say we need to put our eyes back on you. Allow you to build up our lives. Allow you to give us, Lord, what we need, what you would have us have as we continue to serve you. Strive to be more like you. Lord, today I pray, God, if someone is here today and, God, they've never made you their Most High God, if they've only allowed you to be just some kind of God in their life, today that they would make the choice and the decision, God, to follow you, to put you above all things, above themselves and all other things, all other gods in their life, and, God, they would acknowledge you as their one true Savior. They would accept your Son. They would give themselves to you. They'd allow you to forgive them, cleanse them, and save them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.